on a Monday. You're with us for the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The State Assembly and the Senate are expected to vote this week on a new budget, and that $82 billion plan passed out of the Joint Finance Committee earlier this month. So before we talk about budget, though, let's look at what happened in the state Supreme Court on Friday. Wisconsin's High Court ruled that a set of laws passed in December were passed legally under our state's constitution. Have you been following how judges are ruling on the lame duck lawsuits? What questions do you have about what is and isn't law here in Wisconsin? Join in at 800-642-1234. Laurel White is Wisconsin Public Radio State Capitol reporter, and she's co-host of the WPR Politics podcast. Laurel, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Kate.
So what did we hear out of the Wisconsin Supreme Court on Friday with this lame duck lawsuit?
So this is a lawsuit that we've had our eye on for quite a while. These lawsuits were filed in the early part of this year in response to the December 2018 lame duck session. And essentially what the court ruled on Friday was in favor of Republican lawmakers and in favor of this lame duck session. This particular lawsuit, there are four related to the lame duck session, is a procedural argument. It's going after lawmakers' ability to actually call themselves into session in what's called an extraordinary session, and that's what they did for the lame duck. The lawsuit contended that that power to call themselves into an extraordinary session isn't explicitly outlined in the state constitution. And because that power isn't given to them within the constitution, therefore them acting on it was unconstitutional, and then the session itself should be completely null and void. What the court found, it rejected that argument in a 4-3 decision. It split along the ideological lines of the court. There are four conservative-aligned justices and three liberal-backed justices. And the court essentially said, this is actually from the majority opinion, which was written by Justice Rebecca Bradley. She said the Wisconsin Constitution itself affords the legislature absolute discretion to determine the rules of its own proceedings. Mm. So in her decision, which, you know, she writes on behalf of the majority, she cited different parts of the Constitution that say the legislature has power to make rules. Those rules might not be laws, but they have the force of law in terms of things like this extraordinary session.
So what did the three dissenting justices claim?
So the three dissenting justices were Justice Ann Walsh Bradley, Shirley Abrahamson, and Rebecca Dallet. And they essentially said that the majority opinion, they used this phrase a couple times, subverts the Wisconsin Constitution. They said that there is that one part of the Constitution that you can read as lawmakers create these rules, and those rules allow them to call the extraordinary session. But it also says there is a section that requires them have rules for proceedings. And so I'll just read from, I'm not phrasing it very well. So I'll just read from their decision. This is the minority. This is the dissenting opinion. It says the legislature's ability to determine the rules of the proceedings pursuant to one article does not swallow up the meeting requirements of another article or allow it to wield unbridled power.
Wow, it's striking that they can interpret the Constitution in starkly different ways.
Absolutely, absolutely. This is what you see in a lot of these court decisions, and very powerful wording. Obviously, this is a very contentious area. A lot of feelings have been involved in this. It's a high-powered issue, I think. Lots of momentum on each side.
How did the governor respond to this news?
So the governor was obviously not pleased. He's been opposed to the lame duck session. Of course, the lame duck session was put in place to limit a number of the governor's powers, right? That was kind of a big part of the lame duck session. So his statement that he released very shortly after this went public was, today's decision is disappointing and unfortunately all too predictable. He said it is based on a desired political outcome, not the plain meaning and text of the Constitution.
Hmm. So is this the end of the road then for this particular lawsuit?
It is for this particular lawsuit because this is a state level lawsuit, a state based lawsuit, and the state Supreme Court is the highest judicial power in the land. There's no way to appeal this. There's no way to take it anywhere else. So I feel like this doesn't happen to us very often as we cover lawsuits in the state of Wisconsin, right. But we're often saying, you know, there's an appeal, there's someplace else it could go. Not in this case.
But does this ruling at all impact, influence these other suits that are in the background here?
Yeah, so I think it's not explicitly, because of course they are all separate cases, right? Separate arguments. But there is one other state level lame duck lawsuit. This one is based on the laws that were passed within the lame duck lawsuit rather than kind of the procedural grounds that I outlined before. But it is sitting before the state Supreme Court now. And I think some people are sort of reading the tea leaves of how the court ruled on this case as a possible indication of how they might rule on that other case. So that's kind of to be determined, of course. But I think whenever we have kind of high stakes things like this, people try to look and see and try to anticipate.
Laurel White is Wisconsin Public Radio State Capitol reporter. She's getting us up to speed on what's happening inside the Capitol. You can join in with your questions, your perspectives. Do you think the lame duck legislation should be left as is, or should it be struck down? How much power do you think Wisconsin's executive branch should have? And do you agree it should be scaled back? We're at 800-642-1234. Email your thoughts to ideas@wpr.org. So with this ruling on Friday, what have GOP leaders in state government said about this ruling, and what was their response like?
So, of course, GOP leaders have been very defensive of the lame duck session from day one. They, back when it was being called, when it was so controversial, you know, there were protests at the Capitol, a lot of folks showing up saying this shouldn't be something lawmakers should do in advance of a new sort of regime being sworn in the Capitol. And this is, of course, things we've seen in other parts of the country. They said that they had the power to do that, that they were elected officials at the time, they were elected to serve a certain term, and that they were completely within their right to do that. So the statement that they released on Friday was pretty consistent with that argument. They said this was a joint statement that was issued from Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald and Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. And they said, quote, "The court upheld a previously non-controversial legislative practice used by both parties for decades." So this is an argument.
Is that true? Has it been used by both parties for decades?
Yes. This is something, these extraordinary sessions that were in question in particular in this lawsuit, which I think we should mention since we're so far down in the weeds anyway, that there are extraordinary sessions, yes. And then there are special sessions. The governor calls special sessions. The legislature calls extraordinary sessions. Special sessions have a longer history. These extraordinary sessions, I believe the first ones were in the 80s.
So what is the timeline on these other few lawsuits that are going on regarding the lame duck laws? And when will we see those play out in court?
So as I mentioned, we have that other state level lawsuit that's currently sitting before the Supreme Court, the state Supreme Court. They haven't heard oral arguments in that case yet. So we're expecting that to happen. And then the ruling there. So we're getting kind of close to the end of that one. And then we have two federal lawsuits, one of which is a little bit complicated. So one of the federal lawsuits that has to do with lame duck is actually kind of a branch off of a previous federal lawsuit that had to do with Wisconsin's voter ID law and some other election related laws. That lawsuit itself was filed in 2016, and then these lame duck elements were sort of tacked on earlier this year, saying we believe that these lame duck provisions that have to do with early voting and some little procedural changes to voter ID fall under the umbrella of this particular lawsuit. So when that motion was filed, interestingly, they asked the judge in this federal case that's been going for a couple years, could you block these lame duck laws? Because we believe that they're in violation of a previous ruling that you've made in this federal case, this two-year-old federal case. The judge agreed to do so. And so those voting restrictions, which would limit voting to early voting to 14 days in Wisconsin, And then some of those kind of procedural changes with voter ID, they have to do with if you don't have a driver's license to present when you vote, the sort of process you have to go through to get a valid ID for voting. Those are currently blocked. Those laws can't be enforced in Wisconsin because of that federal decision. And they're among kind of the only laws actually that were passed during the lame duck session that aren't being enforced right now because of this federal case. And then there's one other federal case that's very early in the process. It's just been filed. So we have a lot ahead of us in that second federal case.
So that was just in that previous one, that was just literally a motion added, tacked on to another case saying, hey, this isn't right. You've ruled in the past a certain way. So therefore, make these lame duck laws null and void.
Exactly. Exactly. It was sort of the plaintiffs in that case, which is One Wisconsin Institute. It's a liberal advocacy group. They said, we believe these new laws are in violation of something that you ruled against quite a while ago. So let's just all loop this together. And the judge in that case agreed. Now, that was a district judge in the federal court. Now, that case is really interestingly, has been sitting for quite a while before the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals, the federal appellate court in Chicago. They heard arguments in that case in 2017, I believe.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah.
Huh.
So the amount of time that's passed between arguments and ruling is very unusual. I haven't heard personally that we're expecting a decision in that anytime soon, but it could certainly happen anytime.
Talking with WPR State Capitol reporter Laurel White. She's our guide with the latest developments, play-by-play from lawmakers as they work through the budget process, helping us understand the complex lame duck lawsuits out there. And your concerns as well at 800-642-1234. Are you concerned the lame duck session is polarizing and distracting from the actual governing going on? What confuses you about these lawsuits? Call in, email ideas at WPR.org. Back in a minute for more State Capitol Report here on the Ideas Network. We're getting up to speed on the developments from inside the Capitol in this edition of the State Capitol Report. Watching lawmakers inch closer on a two-year state budget deal, State Senator Dewey Strobel, along with several of his Republican colleagues, they held up passage of the last budget for several months in 2017. But this time around, Strobel is a yes, and he was a member of the budget committee this year. He voted to advance the budget out of committee earlier this month.
Because I think it represents a good blend of what we stand for and what the governor should sign.
So what do you make of Republicans stripping out many of Governor Evers' top priorities? What specific funding are you following through the budget process, and how does it affect your life? Join in at 800-642-1234. And Laurel White stays with us. She is WPR State Capitol reporter. Laurel, before we move on to the budget, we're really waiting in limbo here on these lame duck lawsuits. The legislation that passed during the lame duck session, what is the law of the land and what isn't? And is this more complicated than we think?
Yes, always complicated. But essentially, for folks that need a little bit of a refresher of the laws that were passed during the lame duck session, they sort of broadly limited the powers of the governor and the attorney general. So some of those things were limiting the governor's ability to direct the withdrawal of the state from federal lawsuits, like the lawsuit challenging the Affordable Care Act. Limits the governor's ability to change some laws through administrative executive action, like the voter ID law. There had been some speculation he might be able to make some changes. Limits the governor's power to appoint people to the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation Board. That's the board that's overseeing the Foxconn contract. In terms of the attorney general, it gives lawmakers power to sort of go outside the attorney general's office for defense of laws that they pass. So those are some of the things that were passed during the lame duck session, in addition to those limits on early voting that I talked about before. With the exception of the early voting limits, and this rather wonky provision that requires state departments to post public documents for a public comment period, everything has been allowed to go into effect. So all of those things that I outlined with the governor, the element about the attorney general representing lawmakers or lawmakers being able to go around him, all of those things are in place right now as these cases move forward.
And so if the governor would receive a favorable ruling on any one of these cases, would that open up the window for him to make some, you know, move quickly on some, on certain things?
Yes, that's exactly right. And we have actually seen that happen. In the first lame duck case, actually the one that the Supreme Court ruled on Friday, there was a little bit of window of time between when a Dane County judge struck down all of the lame duck laws and an appeals court put a stay on that ruling, that the governor was able to take some action. You might remember there was a little bit of drama about some appointments that Governor Walker made before he left office. Governor Evers withdrew those appointments, reappointed a number of individuals, but left some spots vacant. That's kind of what happened in a little bit of a limbo period there. Also, the governor and attorney general were actually able to, within that window, withdraw Wisconsin from the Affordable Care Act lawsuit. So Wisconsin is not in that lawsuit anymore, though that law is back in place.
Let's go to the phones now with Pat in Kenosha. Hi, Pat.
Hi. Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My comment is that when we voted Governor Evers in, we voted for him to have the powers that he had before the lame duck session. That they're changing what we had voted for and negating some of the voters'
intentions
in the election.
Yeah. So Pat's saying, you know, we went to the ballot box in November. The lame duck session happened in December. And so that doesn't seem to speak to what the voters voted for.
That's what a lot of people who have expressed concerns about the lame duck session have articulated in the months since, that it was sort of a violation of the democratic process because voters chose the governor to take office in January, believing that he would have certain powers, the same powers that Governor Walker had when he was in office, for example. And he doesn't have a number of those powers because of these lame duck laws. Interestingly, I think that that argument is best exemplified in the second of the two federal cases, which is the case brought by the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. That's the one that's very early in the process. And it says that the lame duck session violated the guarantee clause of the U.S. Constitution, which essentially says that individuals are guaranteed a Republican form of government, a representative form of government. And folks are saying that, you know, the governor was elected to do certain things and he's not able to do those things.
Well, let's move on to the budget. Joint Finance Committee recently finished its long budgeting process. You've been moving through with a fine-tooth comb on what went down there. Now some important votes this week in the Assembly and the Senate on this budget. What are you watching for and what's going to happen this week?
So we're really down to the final stages of the budget process this week. This is where the rubber really meets the road. The Senate and the Assembly are scheduled to vote on the final budget proposal that lawmakers have crafted over the course of the past several weeks. The Assembly is expected to vote tomorrow. Generally, this is the kind of thing that goes late into the night or early into the next morning. Lawmakers have said not to expect that this time. So that's going to be interesting to see how that plays out on Tuesday, kind of how quickly they wrap that up and how much debate there is.
Does that mean they're all on the same page?
Well,
or what does that mean?
It's an interesting thing. Yeah, I think, you know, we saw a lot of conflict between the majority party during the last budget, sort of fighting amongst Republicans about specific things. I think what we've seen with this budget is that Republicans that still control the legislature are much more on the same page, kind of united in their opposition of the ideas of the governor. And I think that's made things a little bit quicker this time to kind of move along because there are fewer disagreements. Though that is kind of an interesting segue into what we've seen in the Senate over the past week or so, where there is some disagreement between Republican lawmakers. The Senate is expected to vote on the budget on Wednesday. And really kind of all eyes are on the Senate at this point because the margin for the bill to pass the Senate is much tighter than it is in the Assembly. Republican lawmakers can only lose two votes if they want to pass the budget out of the Senate with only Republican support.
And we've seen Senators Steve Nossen and David Craig opposed to the Joint Finance Committee's version of the budget. What is this opposition looking like in the Senate?
So essentially what Senators Craig and Noss are saying is that the budget is too big, it's too expensive, it places too much of a burden on Wisconsin taxpayers. This is a concern that they've been pretty consistent in voicing. They were two of the four senators that were concerned about the last budget, the Walker budget. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss was actually asked about some of the kind of the Senate conflict last week as an outside observer from the Assembly. And he said, you know, I wasn't incredibly surprised that Senator Craig opposed the budget this year, because he said if he's not going to vote for a budget from Governor Walker, he's not going to vote for a budget from Governor Evers. So what we're really keeping an eye on this week is, as I mentioned, Republicans can only lose those two votes, and they've already lost two votes. So if another Republican senator decides that he has concerns with the budget enough to not approve it this week, that could really lead to a stalled process. They're going to have to kind of go back to the negotiating table, figure out how they can build consensus around this enough to get it to Governor Evers' desk.
As we wrap up here, I was listening to an interview with Assembly Minority Leader Gordon Hintz, who said, look, this budget is so much different than what would have been under a Republican-controlled administration. Is this budget that different? I mean, because we saw so many of Evers' proposals just wiped off the map.
This is a very different budget than what Governor Evers proposed. But I think over the past week, Democrats have been framing it as a budget that moves a little bit closer to what they want than they have had in the past. They said that Governor Evers proposing the budget that he did has sort of moved the needle within the Republican-controlled legislature, sort of pushing Republican lawmakers to do a little bit more than they might be comfortable with, go a little bit outside of their comfort zone. And Democrats have said they're pleased with that, at least.
Laurel, thanks for coming by.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Laurel White is Wisconsin Public Radio State Capitol reporter, co-host of the WPR Politics podcast. Just ahead, we look at the behaviors of honeybees and their survival strategies. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is the State Capitol Report on the Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.